So, reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 9, verse 195. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to the Brahmana. Bishvasa kara ho tumi amara vachane. Bishvasa kara ho tumi amara bachane. Punarapi ku bhavana nakari homone. Punarapi ku bhavana nakari homone. Bishvasa kara ho tumi amara bachane. Punarapi ku bhavana nakari homane. Bishvasa kara ho tumi amara bachane. Punarapi ku bhavana nakari homane. Vishvasa kara ho tumi amara bachane. Punarapi ku bhavana nakari homane. Vishvasa kara ho tumi amara bachane. Bhavana nakari homane. Vishvasa kara ho tumi amara bachane. Ku bhavana nakari homane. Ladies. Vishvasa kara ho tumi amara bachane. Punarapi ku bhavana nakari homane. Vishvasa kara ho tumi amara bachane. Punarapi ku bhavana nakari homane. Believe to me, you. Amara, my vachane, in the words, punarapi, again, kubhavana, misconception, nakariha. Do not do. Mone, in the mind. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then assured the Brahmana, quote, have faith in my words and do not burden your mind any longer with this misconception. Purport, this is the process of spiritual understanding. Achintya kaluye bhava na tangs tarkena yojayet. We should not try to understand things beyond our material conception by argument and counter-argument. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. We have to follow in the footsteps of great authorities coming down in the parampara system. If we approach a bona fide acharya and keep faith in his words, spiritual realization will be easy. And that's the end of Prabhupada's purport. Short. This is spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to a certain Ramdas Vipra, whom he has met in South India at a place called Madurai. Madurai, sometimes referred to as Southern Vrindavan, is there's a very large Meenakshi temple dedicated to Parvati, very beautiful temple, very famous. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, as we know, he travels in South India from Puri for some 2 years, going by foot from place to place. He has spent time in Srirangam, which is north of Madurai. He spent 4 months there, and now he's continuing his travels. And then he comes to Madurai, and he meets this brahmana who invites him for lunch. So he goes to his house for lunch. But when he gets to his house, he sees there's been no preparation for lunch. It's a little strange. You get invited for lunch and nothing's going on. Yes, please come for lunch. Okay, so where's lunch? Oh, lunch, yes. So he politely asks the brahmana, my dear sir, please tell me why you have not cooked. It is already noon. And the brahman says, we are living in the forest. For the time being, we cannot get all the ingredients for cooking. He's saying we are living in the forest, but they're not living in. He's not living in the forest. He's living in the town of this big temple, Meenakshi. But then he goes on to say, when Lakshmana brings all the vegetables, fruits, and roots from the forest, Sita will arrange the necessary cooking. Oh, what's going on here? This brahmana is in this mood of worship of Lord Rama, in which he is personally present in the situation where Rama is in the forest with Sita and Lakshmana. So that's his meditation. He's so absorbed in this meditation that lunch is not ready yet because Lakshman hasn't brought the vegetables yet. When he brings the vegetables, Sita will cook. We have to be patient. Tara upasana shuni prabhu tushta hoila aste baste sebi prarandana kurila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to hear about the brahmana's method of worship. Finally, the brahmana hastily made arrangements for cooking. And then it says he took, eventually, he was offered, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offered lunch. It says around 3 o'clock. Tritiya Prahare. around 3 o'clock. But the brahmana, being very sorrowful, fasted. So Lord Chaitanya's having prasadam, but he's noticing the brahmana is not taking anything, so he asks him, what's the problem? Why are you so unhappy? Why are you so worried? Kene etadukka, kene koraha hutasa. And the Brahmin says, I have no reason to live. I shall give up my life by entering either fire or water. This is not the only time in Chaitanya Charitamrita that we hear about someone in such a state of feeling so desperate that they want to give up their life. Jagannatha Mahalakshmi Sita Thakurani Rakshase Sparshila Tare Iha Kaneshuni. My dear sir, Mother Sita is the mother of the universe, Jagannatha, and the supreme goddess of fortune, Mahalakshmi. She has been touched by the demon Ravana, and I am troubled upon hearing this news. E sharira dharibare kabu na jujaye e dukke jale deha prana nahi jaye. Sir, due to my unhappiness, I cannot continue living. Although my body is burning, my life is not leaving. And Lord Chaitanya says, don't think like this. Pandita haya kenena koroha vichar. You're a pundit. You're learned. You should know better. What is the actual situation? Consider what actually took place. And then he explains. Ishara prayasi sita chidananda murti prakrita indriyer tare dekhite nahi shakti. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Sita Devi, the dearmost wife of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra, certainly has a spiritual form full of bliss. No one can see her with material eyes, for no one material has such power. To say nothing of touching Mother Sita, a person with material senses cannot even see her. When Ravana kidnapped her, he kidnapped only her material illusory form. He goes on to explain, as soon as Ravana arrived before Sita, she disappeared. It was just to cheat Ravana that she sent an illusory material form. Ha, ha, ha. Spiritual substance is never within the jurisdiction of the material conception. This is always the verdict of the Vedas and the Puranas. And this is leading up to the verse that we have read. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then assured the Brahmana, have faith in my words and do not burden your mind any longer with this misconception. Well, the Brahmin had faith in his words, and so he felt relieved, and he accepted prasadam. And it says, "Hoila jivaner asha." In this way, his life was saved. So then, Lord Chaitanya continues further south. Eventually, he goes to place called Rameshwaram. Rameshwaram is also a large temple. It is near to the place where it's understood the bridge or the causeway built by the monkey army had been situated. It's where where Lord Ramachandra returns, where he first comes, when he returns after killing Ravana and recovering Sita from Lanka. He returns. But this temple is a temple not to Rama. It is a temple to Lord Shiva. Actually, it's two temples. It's two in one. The main shrine is of Lord Shiva, who is known as Rameshwara, which can mean either the Lord of Rama, or it can refer to Rama, who is the Lord. There's also, within the same temple, there's a very nice shrine of Lord Ram, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman, as I remember. They're there. It's a nice temple in many ways. One is that both Shaivites and Vaishnavas visit this temple. So there's a kind of spirit of togetherness of sorts. It's not Shaivites against the Vaishnavas, but they're together. Another nice thing about Shishi Panchatattva Ki Jai. Another interesting thing about this temple is within the temple compound are, I think it's 22 tirthas. Now, usually we think of a tirtha as sort of a place along a river. Tirtha means a crossing, where you can cross the river, or where you can cross from this world to the spiritual world. That's the spiritual sense. Within the Rameshwaram temple, there are 22 wells. And there is a tradition that you can bathe in each one, not in the well, but what you do is you pay some few rupees, and one gentleman with a small bucket will accompany you from one tirtha to the next. He'll show you where each one is, and he'll guide you, and he'll bring you there, and then he will throw the bucket down into the water of the well, and he'll pull it up very quickly, and he'll douse you with that bucket of water. And as you are dripping wet, he'll take you to the next one and do the same thing again. You'll get again wet, and you keep going, and you get more and more and more and more squeaky clean. You come out feeling really purified and ready to have darshan of the Lord. That's Rameshwaram. And at Rameshwaram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also meets some brahmanas. Let's see if I can find that. He's meeting these brahmanas. Verse 200. Viprashabai shune taha kurma purana dharamadye aila patibrata upakyana. There among the brahmanas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the kurma purana, wherein was mentioned the chaste woman's narration. Srimati Sita Devi is the mother of the three worlds and the wife of Lord Ramachandra. Among chaste women, she is supreme, and she is the daughter of King Janaka. When Ravana came to kidnap Mother Sita, and she saw him. She took shelter of the fire god Agni. The fire god covered the body of Mother Sita, and in this way she was protected from the hands of Ravana. Maya Sita Ravanila Shunila Akyane Shuni Mahaprabhu Naila Aila Anandita Mone. Upon hearing from the Kurma Purana how Ravana had kidnapped the false form of Mother Sita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very satisfied. The fire god Agni took away the real Sita and brought her to the place of Parvati, goddess Durga. An illusory form of Mother Sita was then delivered to Ravana, and in this way Ravana was cheated. The cheating of Ravana ki jai. No? Raghunata asi jabe ravane marila agni parika dite jabe sitare anila. After Ravana was killed by Lord Ramachandra, Sita Devi was brought before the fire. When the illusory Sita was brought before the fire by Lord Ramachandra, the fire god made the illusory form disappear and delivered the real Sita to Lord Ramachandra. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this story, he was very pleased, and he remembered the words of Ramdas Vipra. So then Lord Chaitanya does an interesting thing. He asks these brahmanas, could he please take this manuscript of the Kurma Purana with him. They say, yes, okay. Now, in those days, you didn't have photocopy machines. You didn't have digital cameras, nothing. So it's quite something to have a manuscript of anything. It's interesting. Also, Lord Chaitanya, later he goes to, in what's now Kerala, he goes to the Adi Keshava temple, and there he finds a copy. There he finds the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5. And apparently he just takes it with him. He just takes it with him. So, therefore, we have it. It's been handed down since then from Lord Chaitanya. It says, since the Kurma Purana was very old, the manuscript was also very old. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took possession of the original leaves in order to have direct evidence. The text was copied onto a new scroll in order that the Purana be replaced. So apparently he was just borrowing it to copy it and then returning the original. So then, from there, Krishnadas Kaviraj tells us that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back to Madurai. Again he meets Ramdas Vipra. This time he has the evidence in his hands. Already, Ramdas had been quite satisfied and had faith, it says, in the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But now that same, who is, of course, none other than Lord Ramachandra, is now coming with the evidence of the Shastra and showing him. And we have then two quotes here from Kurma Purana. Sitayaradito vanishchaya sitam ajijana ajijanat Tam jahara dashagriva sita vahni purangata pariksha samaye vahnin chaya sita viveshasa vahni sitang samaniya tatpurastat aninayat. When he was thus petitioned by Mother Sita, the fire god Agni brought forth an illusory form of Sita, and Ravana, who had 10 heads, kidnapped the false Sita. The original Sita then went to the abode of the fire god. When Lord Ramachandra tested the body of Sita, it was the false illusory Sita that entered the fire. At that time, the fire god brought the original Sita from his abode and delivered her to Lord Ramachandra. Now, at this point, we might wonder, why is this not explained by Valmiki Rishi, Valmiki Muni, in his Ramayana? Any ideas? Why would this not be explained? Don't all answer at once. Maybe you didn't know. Yeah. It would spoil the fun. Yeah, if we all knew that this is, you know, just a fake Sita, then, yeah, who cares if Ravana takes her? Go ahead, take her. And then we might wonder why Lord Rama is going to so much trouble to save her. Oh, she's, anyway, false Maya Sita. Who cares? Yeah, so Valmiki may have withheld this information from us. So that also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could reveal it through his finding the Kurma Purana and so on. And finally, Ramdas Vipra was very pleased to receive the original scrolls of the Kurma Purana, and he immediately fell down before the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to cry. After receiving the manuscript, the Brahmana, being very pleased, said, "Sir, you are Lord Ramachandra himself and have come in the dress of a sannyasi to give me audience. My dear sir, you have delivered me from a very unhappy condition. I request that you take your lunch at my place. Please accept this invitation." Well, this time lunch will be ready. "Due to my mental distress, I could not give you a very nice lunch the other day. Now, by good fortune, you have come again to my home." Saying this, the Brahmana very happily cooked food, and a first-class dinner was offered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu passed that night in the house of the Brahmana. Then, after showing him mercy, the Lord started toward Tamraparni in Pandyadesha. And then he continues traveling. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So, I find it an interesting episode from different angles. Of course, the conclusion of this whole passage, we hear from the Brahmana telling us that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Ramachandra. But of course, he's appearing in the world with a very different mood from that of Ramachandra. And yet, he also appreciates the devotees of Rama. Later in, I believe it's chapter 15 of Madhya Lila, when Lord Chaitanya meets several devotees and he glorifies the devotees one after another, he speaks about Murari Gupta and how one time he had very strongly urged Murari Gupta that rather than worshipping Ramachandra, you should worship Krishna. And Murari Gupta, a good friend of Lord Chaitanya, they were practically the same age, apparently, and they knew each other, apparently, from childhood. We don't know exactly how old they were when they first met, but they knew each other for years. And Murari Gupta considered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also as somehow as kind of guru. He felt that if he tells him he should worship Krishna, then he should worship Krishna. It was a command of his guru. Now he has to do this. And so when he goes home that evening, he's thinking, how am I going to do this? I've been worshipping Ramachandra my whole life, and now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is insisting that I worship Krishna. Well, it can't be both. How can you worship both? I mean, they're in different moods. Ramachandra is Maryada Purushottama, and Lord Krishna is Lila Purushottama. What means Maryada? Maryada. Etiquette? Yes, can mean like etiquette. It can mean sort of boundary or propriety. He's the Lord of propriety, of doing things properly, according to Dharma. Yeah? Rama is exasperatingly adherent to Dharma. He insists to follow Dharma to such an extent he drives everybody crazy. And then there's Lila Purushottama. What means Lila? Pastime? Yeah, Prabhupada translates as pastime. Sometimes it's translated as sport. We think of sport, we think of football or something. But can also just be translated as play. When we think of play, we might think of the kids out here playing on the... I see you have a new... What do you call it? For playing, for the children?
Playground.
The structure. This slide. So we might think, oh, God playing. No, not exactly like that. So the whole, of course, Bhagavatam, especially Canto 10, is showing us what that means. What is Krishna's play? So these seem to be two sort of totally different sorts of mood, of activity of the Lord. So Murari Gupta is profoundly conflicted in his mind what to do. So he's praying to Ramachandra what to do. And he can't find an answer except one, and that is, well, maybe I should just give up my life. And so he goes back the next morning to meet Lord Chaitanya in this mood, and he says, you know, I don't know what to do except maybe just give up my life, because you want me to worship. You want me to worship Krishna? How could I give up my Rama? It's not possible. And of course, Lord Chaitanya is very pleased. He says, ah, yes, you are a true worshipper of Lord Rama. And why is that? He says, because you are none other than Hanuman. So here we have the Ramdas Vipra identifying Lord Chaitanya as Ramachandra. Lord Chaitanya, who is Ramachandra, is identifying his friend, Murarigupta, as Hanuman. But all of this is happening in Chaitanya Leela, and Chaitanya's Leela is not only about his mood of, you know, being in the mood of Srimati Radharani, separation from Krishna, but it's also a mood of including all the devotees who have so many different moods of worship. And that's very nicely illustrated in both of these cases, Ramdas Vipra and also Murari Gupta. Of course, we have a different case altogether with Ravana. Unlike the devotees, unlike Rama, Ramdas Vipra, I mean to say, unlike all the devotees, Ravana has a problem, and his problem is he doesn't seem able to listen to good advice. This is one of the qualifications as devotees we're learning. Because so many times we find ourselves in situations where we're not sure what to do, right? And so we consult with others, with other devotees who may help us. We consult with sadhus and with guru. We consult also shastra. I thought we could read a bit. Well, it's getting late, isn't it? What time is it? Oh, it's getting late. Maybe I shouldn't. Should I? Should I read? Read? Okay, a little. And then maybe we read more later today. Okay. I'm reading from a translation by a scholar in New York, Sheldon Pollack, and some others. One of the scholars that worked with him was my Sanskrit professor in Berkeley. He and his wife were both my teachers. And they did this huge project of translating the what's called critical edition of the Valmiki Ramayana. So it's quite accurately done. Are they devotees, you will ask? Well, in their own way. Okay. Ravana has heard about Sita, and he's, you know, immediately calculating how to get Sita. This is the demonic mentality. It's not about how to love, but it's about how to possess. And so he's thinking how to possess Sita, and he comes up with this scheme that he will send his assistant, Maricha, who is a kind of wizard. You know what is a wizard? What's the Slovene word? Cheronica? Charude, a male witch. Yeah. So anyway, he calls in Maricha. He says, "I have a job for you. you have to trick Lord Rama to get him out of the way, so that I can abduct Sita." So I thought we could hear from Maricha briefly. He says, after listening to the words of the Lord of Rakshasas, this is from Aranyakanda, sorry, Sarga 35. After listening to the words of Ravana, the wise Maricha, a clever speaker himself, replied, "How easy to find those who say what you want to hear, Your Majesty. How difficult to find one who gives or heeds unpleasant but sound advice." Sound advice means good advice. "Clearly, you know nothing of Rama, since you are too careless to make use of spies. Not how great his might, how distinguished his virtues, how much like great Indra or Varuna he, Rama, is. I fear no Rakshasa on earth will be safe from harm, my friend. I fear that Rama, in his rage, will empty the world of them. I fear the daughter of Janaka was born to take your life. I fear some awful doom will strike because of Sita. I fear the city of Lanka, ruled by a lord like you, dissolute and a slave to his passions, will perish, and with it you and all the Rakshasas. A king like you, of poor judgment and poor character, a slave to his passions, takes bad advice and ends up destroying his kingdom, his people, and himself. Rama, the delight of Kausalya, was not disowned by his father. It was absolutely false to say he knows no bounds. His greed is greedy of bad character, or the scum of the Kshatriyas. Scum means dirt. He is not lacking in virtue or righteousness, nor is he vicious. On the contrary, he is devoted to the welfare of all creatures. When the righteous prince saw how Kaikeyi tricked his father, he accepted forest exile to preserve the truth of his father's word. To please Kaikeyi and his father, Dasharatha, he gave up the luxuries of kingship and entered Dandaka forest. And he goes on to glorify Rama. But of course, Ravana is not going to listen. We know what's going to happen. And Maricha is predicting. And all of this is happening, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even without Ravana knowing that he has not actually abducted Sita. He has only abducted a false Sita. Well, as we remember Lord Rama, his glorious qualities, his pastimes, his accomplishments, his heroism, we can also think of the Ravana whom he defeats, whom he kills. How does he kill him? With an arrow in the heart. We can take heart in that memory, we can also, with this memory, reduce, if not entirely eliminate, the little Ravana that may be lurking in our hearts, whether we are male, thinking of, enjoying someone of the opposite sex, or female, thinking in some sort of similar way. The Ravana tends to lurk there with his 10 heads, the 10 heads of his, the 10 heads represent his senses. And The ten heads are supposedly advising him, but again, he cannot listen. Yeah. So I will stop there. We can continue discussing Ramlila later today. Is there any comment anyone likes to make on any of this? Yes, Yashoda Dula. Yeah.
And that we have to return Lakshmi to Narayan.
Yes.
Can you say more about this connection regarding food distribution?
Returning Lakshmi to Narayan. Yeah, sometimes Prabhupada would speak on this point that Sita belongs with Rama as Lakshmi belongs with Narayana. When Lakshmi is engaged in the service of Narayana, everything's very nice. What does Lakshmi Devi do? We see images of her. She is massaging Lord Narayana's feet. Of course, there is a situation when Lakshmi became upset with Narayan and she left. You know about this? Yeah. Everybody know?
No.
Lakshmi became upset with Narayan. Why was she upset? Because Narayana had allowed Bhrigu Muni to kick him in the chest without making any retaliation against Bhrigu. Rather, he said to Bhrigu, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I hope I did not harm your foot with my hard chest." Lakshmi thought, "This is too much." And she left and she came to what is present-day India. And we are told, some of us were on this Maharashtra Yatra some weeks ago, one of our last visit, our practically last visit, place we went, was in sort of southward Maharashtra, a town called Kolhapur, where is a large Lakshmi temple, Mahalakshmi. And they say this is the Lakshmi who left Narayan. So Lakshmi separated from Narayan, not a good idea. And of course, this is what materialism is about, is separating Lakshmi from Narayan to try to enjoy her separately from Narayan. And the illustration is Ravana abducting Sita. So Prabhupada says, this is, you know, what everyone, all the materialists are doing or trying to do. They're trying to separate. And therefore, there's so much trouble. Because Lakshmi belongs to Narayan. And so, yes, devotees want to be agents for the bringing of Lakshmi back into the service of Narayana. And one form of that service, yes, you can say like that. I don't remember, does Prabhupada explicitly make that connection, but in any case, we encourage people, yes, give some donation, some of your hard-earned cash, which you are taking away from Rama. Give something of that. For these books, for this book, because this is giving to the Lord. And of course, what is so dear to everyone's heart nowadays? It's money. And why is it dear? It's dear because it's Lakshmi, and, you know, unconsciously, but it's the reality is that Lakshmi is belonging to Narayan. Narayan is in the heart. So actually Narayan is also dear, but they're confused. So they're thinking that Lakshmi is for themselves. And so when you offer a book which is knowledge about Narayan and more, they get a bonus. Not just Narayan, but Krishna. Lord Chaitanya. Chant Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra. They get, you know, the full package in one little book. Give something to show, to qualify yourself to actually benefit from what you're going to read. That's why we're asking, because that's purifying, that's opening them to take in what we're giving them. We just want to give Krishna Bhakti, but people need to be open to take it. So this is helping them, and then we receive Lakshmi, this helps us, we can print more books, we can continue worshipping Krishna in the temple, and so on. Okay. Thank you all so much. Have a nice day today. Oh, I want to suggest, I know it's not so popular, but anyway, I'll mention it. You have these name tags in the entryway. Today's Sunday program. Do you all have a name tag? What if you would wear it today? Would that be too strange? Not too strange? Ananta Prabhu, what do you think?
Yes.
Wow, he said that with do you want to add a sentence to your yes? No. It's clear. Yeah. Let's see, maybe it's not such a bad thing. Maybe it's a good thing. What's the idea of the name tags? Can anyone explain? Lalita, go in. Why these name tags? You don't look very very convinced. I mean, I know we're in Europe, we're not in America, this would be totally a natural thing. I mean, they do it in churches and so on. I know it's Europe, and Europe we're we're cool, and yeah. But what I see is that people are coming, some of them come since years, day after week after week, and they still don't know what so many devotees' names are, and they just might feel a little bit shy, and maybe they would, someone would like to get to know you, and you might like to get to know them. Yeah? No. So the name tag, it's a kind of invitation, you know, let's get to know each other. Let's be friendly. That's the idea. Anyway, it's meant to try out. You can always say, okay, we tried it. Doesn't work. Crazy idea. Tell that Swami, forget it, but maybe try it once. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Pancha Tattva ki jai, Shri Ramachandra ki jai.